Oh man, it's we take 1 week off and the video game industry is just ripping each other apart. That's what we get.
Yeah, so the real moral is we should never take breaks.
Yeah, that is the true moral. Well, I do have to say this whole Blizzard thing is all Activision's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I think that
No, it's the whole industry.
I yeah, I'm not one branch of that poison tree on blast.
No, not at all. I think it's the whole industry, and it's weird because like Kotaku has done a handful of stories about the video game industry needing to unionize. Polygon has written a few articles in regards to the video game industry needing to unionize, and it just seems like it's more of like, I don't really think the video game consumer understands what this really means. Also, because the video game industry consumer is, I think, is just a large splat of people. But the workers, that's the thing. I think the workers understand. I think the developers really want a union. It's just the major companies like Activision and Blizzard and EA. They're not a fan of paying people livable wages and treating them with respect and hiring diverse groups of people. Yeah, that stuff. Stuff that unions would usually come in and do. And when you have stories of Blizzard hiring union busters to pretty much squash people's ideas and dreams of unionizing. Yeah.
So let's rewind it back to the beginning. So
Let's do that.
about 2 weeks ago, reports were coming out about Blizzard being just a frat boy workplace that was had poor gender politics and sexual harassment running rampant.
Yeah.
In fact, lawsuits were actually filed in the state of California, two of them.
Yeah.
So then the president of Blizzard, J. Allen Brack, stepped down. Some others stepped down as well. And then, in a weird move, the chief compliance officer of Activision Blizzard posted out this tweet about against whistleblowers.
Yeah.
And then she had to nuke her Twitter from orbit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been quite a week. You know, the fan backlash has been pretty strong against Blizzard. I mean, this is maybe the second time that this has happened to them.
Second reported time. Can we just be
Yes.
honest about that? I think that's the reality on this one. This is the second reported time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's rough. Guys, remember, companies are not good for you because Activision Blizzard also hired union busters. I mean, I think they would have hired the Pinkertons if the Pinkertons still had the cachet they currently do, or they used to do.
it's really tough, and it's really funny because like history has shown that every time these events happen in an industry, it strengthens the push towards unionization, and it's just we're very lucky this isn't like 1910 where if these people wanted to unionize, they would have call the police on them, and the police would have killed every single one of them.
They would have been
And
shot in the street.
they would have been shot in the street. And if you're saying, "Oh, that's an overreaction," I was like, first off, do your research. Second, the United States hasn't ever really been friendly to unions. Third off, I'm a union member. Fourth, the video game industry needs to unionize. Fifth, I don't care if you act like, well, what does that mean for me? Do I have to spend more money on video games? No, none of that. You don't. You're not going to spend. You're going to probably wait a little bit longer for a game, but that's necessary. On as what we've seen with Cyberpunk and what we've seen with other video games, I think waiting a few months longer for a game to be completed, and knowing that the staff did not have to deal with crunch and the staff had livable wages and were working in a very respectable environment and had health insurance and a pension and a 401k. Yeah, I think worth the wait for 6 months for a video game that would have been released like in a year period. I think that's well worth it.
I agree.
And I think everyone should be behind it.
Yeah.
Every listen.
I don't understand why people are just so like, no, the old system is the best and it works the best. When
it's,
you know,
like,
I don't think it does.
Yeah, who does it work the best for?
Currently it works best for the CEOs.
Yeah, like the CEOs of Blizzard, do you really want to keep supporting those guys? Like, really? And, you know, and it's great because unions also help the indie game as well. You know, the indie gamers, the indie game developers. It's a true trickle-down effect. Because if people at Activision and people at EA and if people at name any major game company, if they stand up and they are asking for more livable wages, that trickles down to the indie gamers. And yeah, if you're going to pay a little more for an indie game, then so be it. It's well worth it. I think these individuals who are working 14 to 16 hour days to develop a game for your entertainment that you're going to go onto Twitter or go onto TikTok or whatever and blast how much you hate it because a glitch happened or a graphic issue happened, you know, these people wouldn't be like wrecking their life over just to entertain you for 60 hours compared to the 2,000 plus hours of work they put into a video game. Yeah, I'm pretty passionate about this.
I think people are more, have come back around to being sympathetic to unions as a general rule. I think the most difficult part about this are the companies based in other countries, like, for example, Japan, where, you know, dying for your work is a sign of loyalty. And,
yeah. You know,
they don't really have what we call a work-life balance.
And even though that's a thing that's also changing in Japanese culture with the adaptation of the 4-day work week in Europe, it's really trickling down into Asia as well. Japan is testing out, a lot of companies in Japan are testing out the 4-day work week because it's been a great success in France. And, you know, we're hoping that it's adapted in the United States. But, like, at the end of the day, yeah, my wife looks at me like, nah, it's not going to happen. But at the end of the day, these video game companies need to respect these unions and need to respect these developers because these are creators. That's the biggest thing about these developers. They're a technical job that not many people can do, and they're creators of art. And the majority of that type of trade in the United States is unionized. And those unions happened because it was to protect the artists and to protect the developers. The film unions developed because of Charlie Chaplin. So, you know, because of an actor. Didn't want to work in the conditions that they were recording and they were, I can't even think, filming in. But yeah, with video game industry, it's like, do you really want these toxic environments? Or do you really want to support these toxic environments? And that's it. Yeah. So what we got, Chris?
I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing to kind of watch play out over the upcoming years, especially for how this Activision Blizzard lawsuit is going to play out, because we know they've got deep pockets and they're going to dig in for years. So it may be a long time before we see anything.
And it's the funny thing is, don't think that this lawsuit, don't think that's going to change the quality of the games that Blizzard and Activision are producing. I feel like people are going to start seeing more microtransactions. Like, they put this down when companies go into these types of lawsuits, they put this cost down to the consumer, and the consumer pays for these settlements. So seeing, you know, seeing that these actions are happening is very problematic to the consumer, and especially for someone who's a big fan of Diablo and is very excited about Diablo 4. I am not about playing Diablo 4 with tons of microtransactions. And yes, I'm a person who's bought Diablo 3 four times.
Four times?
Yeah, four times.
Come on.
I know. Well,
I like
you know,
Diablo 3. I've only bought it twice.
Look, I had it for the Xbox. Yeah. And then I had it for the PC. And then I had it for the PlayStation 3. And then I bought it for the PlayStation 4. Problematic, right?
Yes, you are a problematic fave.
That was very problematic. I got them on sale though.
Well, I mean, that's something.
Yeah, that's right. I just admitted on the podcast that I bought Diablo 3-4 times.
You finished it all four times?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, at least you're doing it.
I love that the PlayStation 5 lets you know how long you've actually played a game, and I'm very ashamed of my Destiny and my Diablo 3 hours. Very ashamed. I want that to be deleted from all existence.
No, you have to, you're in the shame square, so now you have to just kind of accept it.
I feel like I've accepted it, but I'm not proud of it, and I know I've given a company, in hindsight, I know I've given a company my money that I don't really want to support, and, you know, it's, I don't know.
So, in
that's,
in,
yeah, that's the
world. As the end of summer hits, we're now in lawsuit season, because our favorite, Scarlett Johansson, is biting the hand that feeds her and suing Disney over the streaming rights as to Black Widow.
Yeah, I know. This is really fascinating.
So, Josh, you are in the film industry.
I am
for a company. And where do you fall on Miss Johansson's lawsuit?
So, I'm on the fence with this because the contracts are difficult, and when it comes to streaming, and it comes to profit, and it comes to this is tough because she's okay. Like let's be real about this. Financially, she's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe this affects her. Like this is tough because like, cause you make a lot of money. Actors make a lot of money on the back end when it comes to residuals and so on and whatnot. And that's
especially
depending on
how,
and it's depending on how they strike their contracts and how they work their contracts. And sometimes they get money up front and sometimes they want that 10 to 20% on the back end. That's the whole thing with Sylvester Stallone that happened with Rocky. They thought it was going to be a flop. Stallone was much smarter and he got like 7% of the profits of that movie. And he is still collecting profits from that movie. So a lot of actors work out these types of contracts. So if she would have worked out a contract saying like, oh, this is going to be a big success, the streaming rights is, that's the thing about the streaming realm is that it's in a new gray area when it comes to these actors because it's a constant service and it's not like a movie ticket or it's not like a movie house buying the film to show, and that money goes towards the talent and, you know, all the popcorn and all the snacks. That's what keeps the movie theater open. So, you know, I think it's good because it's a good step for talent to step up and really talk about the issue with streaming, but she's fine. I hope this becomes something more of a, I'm fighting for the other like talent that are not in my place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if this is a response to I'm fighting for such and such because, you know, actors and actresses are going to be taken advantage of in the future because of the streaming services, all about this lawsuit. And if it turns out that way, I think that would be great. But I'm not really sure how this is going to turn out. I don't think I can tell you. I don't think, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and it's important to know this is a problem for the courts.
Yeah.
But you know, we're also seeing Emma Stone is considering jumping in on this.
And, yeah.
Gerard Butler is suing Millennium Films.
He should. Millennium is a very shady film organization. I would love for them to be taken down.
I don't know. They keep making the blankest Fallout movies. Those are never going to end.
No, not at all. But yeah, it could be a good thing. It's one of these things where this could be a really good thing because the streaming thing is such a gray area, and Netflix is showing that they don't care how much they spend on any type of product, and they will just pay to get a product out. But like Disney, I don't know. I feel like the contracts might have been something. There's something probably strange with their contracts. So.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about what specifically is and is not allowed.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I think it's super interesting. Like, especially when you consider the fact that she was one of the main stars in the biggest film of all time. You know, she has been a workhorse for Disney since Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And it's kind of really fun to watch her go after Disney. You know, I she's done with Black Widow. We have set up our new Black Widow. And she's kind of free to do whatever she wants.
Yeah, that's why I said she's fine.
So,
but if this is something to really stand up for the rights of other people who've worked for the mouse.
Well, you know, we don't know that.
That's mouse?
We don't know that that's what she's doing.
We don't know that she's doing that because she's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she you know what? It is just as likely as that she is going to set a legal precedent as she is going to take a little extra payoff and drop the suit.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree with that.
Just as likely. So you know, yeah. we'll see like where Scarlett Johansson's values lie.
It's true. Oh man.
Man, it has been a crazy couple of weeks.
A crazy couple of weeks. I like paying attention to what's going on with the video game news. I had no idea what's going on in comic books or other things.
Well, so
there was a PS5 dev kit out. I don't know if you know about that.
Sorry, the what now?
There was a PS5 dev kit that was on eBay that just got pulled.
I did hear about that, and I love the way the dev kit looks.
Yeah, it looks rad. That thing looks rad. I would have been happy if that was the PS5.
Yes, I agree. I think that system looks super sharp, and I think the actual PS5 looks kind of muddied.
Yeah, okay with the PS5, but this dev kit? Sick. My dog is losing its mind over this. What a good dog. Lemon's a good
dog. Lemon is a good dog.
What do we have?
Well, I mean, about comics, and I think the thing to consider is that this time of year is Comic-Con, or Comic-Con is like a week or so ahead of time, and that's when all the news drops. And now, you know, Comic-Con is in shatters. Tatters, I mean, not shatters, that's not a thing. But Comic-Con is in tatters, so there's no real news. DC and Marvel are muddling along as they have been. You know, they both have their good, they both have their bad. Just is.
It just is. It's a weird time.
Yeah, we're gearing up for the in our X-Men catch up. We're gearing up for the trial of Magneto.
Ooh, what did Magneto do?
Well, Magneto is under a suspicion for having killed Wanda Maximoff.
Oh.
Which brings many questions. Number one, did Magneto actually kill her? And number two, is Wanda a mutant and can get into the resurrection protocols?
Is this Hickman's doing? Is Hickman playing around with some fun things?
He might be.
Man.
So we'll be seeing the trial of Magneto, I think, in this month or next month.
I like what I hear. I like this. I like what Hickman's doing with the X-Men.
Yes, and then the trial of Magneto will roll right into Inferno, which will be very exciting.
Yeah.
We'll finally get her revenge.
Yeah, I feel like Inferno is going to reset everything.
No, I really don't think so. I think I'm trying to figure out, like, I mentioned this theory in our group chat that they've been reusing names of past events. The Trial of Magneto is the arc from issue 200 of Uncanny. Inferno is the infamous Ilyana Rasputin arc. That came out towards the middle of the New Mutants. So I think that one of the arcs we're going to see coming up is the Mutant Massacre, which since we now have a whole planet of no-name mutants to kind of wipe out, seems pretty likely. I have not read last week's issue of Sword, but last week's issue of Sword is Doctor Doom talking to the new Queen of Mars, Storm. I'm very excited to read that.
Interesting.
Because Doom is not thrilled with being usurped.
Yeah. Do you think the Phalaxes are going to come back?
Yeah. You know, with Hickman, I say everything is on the table.
Everything is on the table. The Brood's going to come. The Phalanx is coming back. This is going to be, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Literally everything is on the table for Hickman, and I love it. I was going to tell you something else. Meh. That's not them. Okay, so now we're finishing up. This will probably be the last part of the Mass Effect talk.
Oh, yeah. So
you have completed 100% of Mass Effect.
Played it on Insanity. I loved it. Three is, you know, before going in, I was like, I've always loved Mass Effect 1. I think Mass Effect 1 is amazing. After playing all three games with all the DLC, doing 100%, I think 3 is the best game.
So here's where I fall on that, because I have one more thing. I have to do the final assault on Earth. I've taken out shitbag Kai Leng, who sucks.
Oh, God, yeah. He was a,
I'm sure we've talked about Kai Leng and the problems of stories with him.
And there's too much backstory that is happening outside of the game.
In a book and a comic book. So
yeah, that doesn't count. It's like, come on. Yeah, we could have had some fun with this guy.
So here's where I think I fall. If we're taking just the base game, I think Mass Effect 2 is better. If we were including DLC, Mass Effect 3 goes in a walk and is the fucking GOAT. Because those DLCs,
dude,
Omega, Leviathan, and Citadel, they are top tier DLCs.
Omega is great, first off. Aria is amazing. Leviathan just establishes the indoctrination theory, the Reapers, everything. It just sets everything up. And the best thing about all the DLC is that it calls back from all of the games to remind you, it's like, hey, we've set all this up in the first Mass Effect. Now you've paid attention. Now you've played all the games through. You played two. You learned about the characters. Now three's happening. It's like, it's like the greatest thing about this edition is that you're getting the payoff. You're getting everything packaged together and presented to you. And the DLC helps. And that Citadel's DLC is just on point. Rex is amazing. He's the best. And when you put Garrus and Rex together, I advise that. I don't care what anyone's like, oh, no, do other teammates. It's like, no. Take Garrus and Rex with you. They're so funny together. They just feed off of each other. And it's like when Rex says, it's like, oh, we used to just kill people back then. and then Garrus being concerned about the oxygen. And then Shepard is like, do I sound like that? And then Glyph comes and he saves the day. There's so many good moments. Plus, when you take Rex to the casino, it's hilarious.
Yes. So I completed the Citadel DLC for the first time last night. And I got to tell you, games don't make me cry. They don't usually, it's very rare for a game to kind of hit that emotional beat to get that resistance. Just at the end of the party, when we're taking the photo and we're hanging out with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that really emotional?
Yeah, it's a really good, the whole party is great. The experiencing the party, it's like you can do slow music and let everyone just relax and unwind, or you can just have the upbeat music and everyone makes comments about it, but they have a great time at the party.
Everyone has fun.
And everyone has fun.
And my favorite thing is after the party's over and you got your photo and everything is gone, the people like want to come by to hang out.
Oh yeah,
and it's like, oh hey Samar, let's chill out for a bit.
It's really nice, and I was able to save Miranda because I was romancing Miranda in 2, and then apparently if you break up with her in 3, it's devastating. By the way, because she starts crying when you're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore because I'm all about Liara. She turns around and she starts crying.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm going to another save point. I got to figure out how to make sure I don't break this girl's heart because this is really depressing. And then I found out that she commits suicide at the end. Like if you do that, like there's a whole path of her. If you don't want her and all that stuff, she'll die from the wound. But like if you break up with her, it's like she'll just commit suicide on that mission in Horizon. So I'm like, oh, like, no, this is wrong. Miranda's got a really good story arc. She's no Garrus. I think Garrus has the best story arc of all of the characters. I think he grows the most from the first game to the end of the third game. I think he has the best growth of a character in any video game. But, yeah, I had to keep Miranda alive. Liara, you know, didn't know. I don't know. But yeah, like having her invited, it still seems like that, like I have Liara and Miranda in a relationship with me. So I think I've won the day.
See, I did the party. I forgot when I was supposed to deal with Miranda's dad. So I did it. I did the party first. And you know, she didn't show up. So I was like, oh, whatever. That's fine. And then I saved her, and then we did our hot girl casino hopping. But yeah,
Miranda at the party is great because she's talking to Jack. There's a time period where her and Jack are talking at the party, and it's like they bond over trauma, and it's really nice. It's nice talking.
I love it. And I stand by what I said. With DLC, Mass Effect 3 is the best game.
It really is. It's the best game in the series. It's one of the best games in that time period in the teens. The 2000 teens. What do we call that time period?
The teens.
The 20 teens?
No one cares about the
19 teens. Yeah, no, it's one of the best games from the 19 teens. 19 teens.
Yes.
Weird. It's such a weird, weird thing.
Yes. So yeah, that's our most recent stuff on Mass Effect. I think after this one, because Matt has 100% completed it too, I don't think we'll be talking about it again.
No, I don't. Until Mass Effect 4 comes out.
Yes, or until we all replay Andromeda to kind of give it another shot.
Do we feel like doing that?
A little.
Should we?
I don't know if we should, but I would.
Doug is playing Andromeda right now. He's doing Cyberpunk 2077, and he's enjoying it. And I'm all about it. I think Cyberpunk 2077 got a bad rap, but I get an incomplete game being released is a major thing. But he was playing Andromeda, and he put all the mods in it, like all the graphic mods and all that stuff. And he's like, there's a game here. And you can tell that EA shelved this Mass Effect game to get Anthem out because they wanted that Destiny money.
And now they have nothing.
It's a lesson.
Yeah, so we'll see. I may go back to Andromeda. I may just take a break because I've been playing Mass Effect for a lot.
Oh, man. Yeah.
In a row is a lot.
It's a lot. It really, really is. There was a moment where I'm like, I got to finish this game. I got to power through it. I'm getting 100%. I'm powering through this.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm skipping dialogue. I know what happens.
I alternate between this and Yakuza Like a Dragon. And then mm-hmm. I realize that like I was so close. So I've just been mainlining Mass Effect. And now that I'm almost done, like I'm gonna have to just burn through it.
I was thinking about picking up Yakuza Like a Dragon. What do you think of it?
I think it's a lot of fun. I think, you know, the other Mass Effects are, they're a lot. They're very deep. They're very Japanese, and they're very weird. So I find they're kind of hard to get into, especially because the cutscenes are very long. They're like movies.
Yeah.
But with Like a Dragon, you know, it has turn-based RPG. It has a job system. It has a crafting system. It's a little more accessible, I think.
So okay.
I would recommend it. I mean, if you're curious about Yakuza, I honestly think, you know, the main
plot. It's on sale right now. It's on sale on the PlayStation Network.
Yes. I would say go for it because
all right.
The others I think are just a little too. I mean, that's a big six-part story with Kiryu and Majima.
Yeah, that is. This is a whole new story.
Yeah. And also, I find Ichiban, who's the protagonist, very charming. I think he's great.
Oh, good.
Because he's a huge fucking dork who loves Dragon Quest, which is why the game is turn-based, because he views everything as a Dragon Quest game.
No way.
Yes. So when they go into battle, like it shifts into like what his perception of the enemies are.
No.
Yes.
Oh, this is already fantastic. I love games like this. Like, you know, this is the thing. The more I'm on this podcast, the more like I let people know. It's like I like bizarre games. Give me some weird shit. You know, because video game. I feel like. That's where film and video games really can differ, is that video games can do some bizarre, crazy, balls to the walls, bonker sauce, Taco Wednesday type shit. Films can try to do it, and it's artsy and whatever, but video games, when they do it, you're like, that's it, that's a style.
All right, so let me tell you this one quest.
I'm in.
Before we get to Quora.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
You're walking down the streets. Of wherever the city is. I think it's Yokohama. And you hear crying coming from a building, and there's a guy like, oh man, I gotta get this this formula for my baby, but there's a crying child in here and I have to take care of it. So he sends you off to go get like hot water, and he gets diapers, and you make it back to the building, and you're like, all right, well we'll knock on the door and see if they need help. And you go in, and it's one of those cafes for adults who want to dress like babies.
Nice.
And it's the head of a Yakuza clan. And he is so moved by your mission to take care of a sad, crying child. He becomes a summon. And if you call him, he does a summon where he shows up and he cries very loudly and disrupts enemy attacks.
Oh, man. Man. Yeah. I need this.
Hold on. I'm going
to
see if I can
find I need to find this. Because Ghost of Tsushima, the Ghost of Tsushima director's cut's coming out.
Yes.
So I don't have time for Yakuza yet, but I'll probably just buy it and let it hang out in my backlog. Because I feel like 2020 might be another backlog. 2022, what year is this? 2022 might become another back log year. I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore, Chris.
No, life is nonsense. It has no meaning.
Yeah.
Okay, I found the summon. I'm just putting it for you in the chat. You enjoy that at your leisure.
I will.
So let's talk about some core questions. I still have some saves.
Let's do it. Let's bring the Quora gauntlet. The gauntlet of Quora.
The gauntlet of Quora. The legend of Quora. All right. Josh.
Who made up that name?
I did. I really hope the right way to pronounce it. I'm not 100% on that.
No, no. Let's just call it like that so we don't get to.
All right. Josh, what movie or TV show do you think is overrated and why?
Oh, this is an easy one. I'm going to get a lot of hate from this.
I can't wait.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
Firefly.
Interesting. Okay.
Completely overrated.
All right. Any particular reason why?
Well, first off, the movie's okay. And I know it's not like a, I know it's like, oh, whatever, Joss, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's one good episode in that whole series, and it's Out of Gas.
That's a great episode.
And it's a great episode. But the thing is, Cowboy Bebop did it better.
Do you think Firefly would have gotten better if it had more episodes?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think Firefly would have been a lot better show. It wouldn't have been the greatest show that a lot of the Firefly fans make it out to be. But I think it's a completely overrated show. I really do.
I disagree with that notion that everyone's like, oh, if that reboot's coming any day now. It's like, no, it's not. That show is over.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Get over it. Move on. Watch another show. There's better stuff out there. Hey, here's Cabo Bebop. Enjoy it. Big fan of Cabo Bebop. I don't know. I can't. I just. Any type of like science fiction westerns and actually space westerns, it's like it's already been done.
Yeah.
And it's not Outlaw Star. It's Cabo Bebop.
I'm trying to think of what movie or TV show I think is overrated.
Yeah, think about it.
I think it might be.
I was hoping you say Doctor Who. You're gonna say Doctor Who. Say Doctor Who.
I don't want to say Doctor Who. I think Doctor Who is at the moment appropriately rated. I hear you. I think when we were dealing with the Matt Smith era, I think it was overrated, and now I think that the common consensus is kind of evened out.
Yeah, I hear you.
And it's appropriate. You know what I think is really overrated is Interstellar.
Yes.
I think I for some reason, like, people are like, that movie's incredible. I'm like, I don't see it, man.
I agree. Nolan has done better movies. Interstellar is not as great as, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Josh, in your opinion, why did John Carter flop?
Well, that's easy. Naming.
You think poorly it's named name? Film.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
John Carter from Mars?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I mean, I don't know.
Stranger in a Strange Land? Maybe better.
It might be like a Live, Die, or Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow kind of thing.
Exactly.
I think the real reason is, and I had this thought when I left the theater, and I thought John Carter was totally fine. I think the thing is that John Carter has inspired so many other things that you watch and you're like, oh yeah, I've already seen this.
Huh, yeah, I've seen this movie.
I've seen this. Like you know, he's got, yeah. You know, he's, you got your kind of Conan-ism. You got your, you know, stuff we've seen in like 100 sci-fi movies, because John Carter was one of the first, and everything flows from that. And
it's true.
I think that like people saw it and were like, oh yeah, I've already seen this, and they may not understand why they've seen it, but they're just like, eh, whatever.
Look, there's names. I'm looking up right now. Names that they could have been. A Prince of Mars, maybe could have been a better name.
Maybe.
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 They're saying the gods of Mars, the warlords of Mars.
Warlord of Mars might have been something, because that sounds
pretty good. That would have been something. Lords of Mars? Look, better names than John Carter of Mars.
I don't even think it's John Carter. I think it's just John Carter.
John Carter, yeah. Who the hell is John Carter? I don't know who he is. I'm not going to see this movie.
It sounds like a guy who's just getting back on his feet.
Yeah. But I do feel like if this movie would come out now, it would do a lot better.
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. Disney's been real shit about releasing like live action movies. They pump a ton of money in them and people just do not care.
They don't care.
So, I don't know. Josh, what are some popular comic book superheroes who are neither DC nor Marvel?
Bond?
I mean, Bond technically does have comic books. That is correct. You know, you got your Invincible. You got Spider-One.
Yeah.
You've got Savage Dragon, which I just found out Savage Dragon still has issues coming out.
Savage Dragon is very good.
I keep seeing screenshots, and Savage Dragon has just gotten so much hornier over the years.
It's very entertaining. I'll dive into it for like a really quick little spell, because you can download anything on the internet.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, holy shit, this guy is continuing a continuity through the time he started this comic book in like 93, and it's aging through time.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's like the Eisners just recently occurred, and I saw that Usagi Yojimbo won another freaking Eisner. And that thing has been going since at least the 80s.
Who is doing that? Who is doing it, Jim? He's still doing it?
Yeah.
I just see that there's going to be a Netflix show.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, he's still doing it.
Yeah. And he's almost 70, man. He's...
Yeah. Good for him.
I have the first, like, 100 issues. Or like 30 issues of Yojimbo on my iPad, and I will get to it one day. I don't know when.
That's good. No, you should just read those 30 issues. I think you're solid.
Like, I'm looking at his Eisner Awards, and man, he's been getting Eisners since 96.
He should stop.
No.
He should stop. I'm kidding. Has he grown as an artist though?
I don't know. I've literally never read it.
It doesn't matter. He's I'm looking at some of the more recent books. It's still the style hasn't changed. It's better coloring.
It's incredible. I don't.
Yeah,
I hope this Netflix thing does happen, and I hope it's good.
Yeah, because if it's good, then it's gonna just bring it back to life. Like, but he's winning awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, his line work has gotten a lot better, and the coloring has gotten a lot better when it comes to covers.
Cool. I can't wait. One day I'll get into it.
One day. It's like Robotech, right?
Oh my god, fucking Robotech still. That's a white whale if I've ever seen one. Josh, are Marvel movies more popular than the Tolkien movies?
Yeah, that's a dumb question.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because you, on the one hand, you have Endgame, which grossed $2 billion. And then on the other hand, you have the 6 Lord of the Rings movies. Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, whatever.
Yeah, look.
I think those Hobbit movies really tanked the legacy of the Lord of the Rings.
Like, the Lord of the Rings, I find really funny. Kate was attempting to watch them the other day. She watched the first one. It took her 4 days to watch the first one. It was
It was entertaining.
My quarantine watch consisted of watching the extended cuts of all of them. And Return of the King was a good 2 to 3 day affair.
Yeah. It's too long.
I don't know. I think it's kind of fun.
It's too much.
I certainly do not mind, especially something that's kind of lush as Lord of the Rings. I certainly do not mind taking a couple of days and watching the extended cuts.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you about these movies. They haven't really aged well.
I don't know. I think Lord of the Rings has aged. Fellowship has aged really well.
I've watched them, and there's weird editing beats. Hmm. There's some strange continuity errors.
They're filming like three. You know, the acting
is okay. There's a lot of technical stuff that's more of a nuisance for me.
Sure.
Than the actual, like, you know, story and so on. There's just a lot of like weird technical things, and I know this was like what 2001.
So the filming was between 98 and 2000.
Yeah. So, you know, filming at that time was completely different.
Because they were filming all the movies at the same time in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, and editing was the way the very common editors at that time were not that great. I'll tell you this, 98 to about 2008, there's a 10-year period that the film editing, and you just look at it, there's just some weird cuts, and there's some weird, like, just beats that don't seem right. And I blame Ben Affleck's Daredevil for all of that.
I mean, it's an easy target, but why do you blame Ben Affleck's Daredevil?
I don't know. MTV.
That's fine. I'll allow it.
Okay, good.
All right. Three more questions, Josh.
Sounds great. Let's go.
Okay. What is your favorite Martin Scorsese movie?
Favorite Martin Scorsese movie? Ooh. I'm a big fan of Raging Bull. Hmm. Big, big fan of Raging Bull. I like The Departed a lot. Those are the two that come right off the bat. Departed and Raging Bull.
Not Goodfellas or Casino?
Look, I like Goodfellas, but I don't like it as much as I like Raging Bull.
Interesting.
I like the camera work in Raging Bull. I like the black and white. I like the grittiness. I like it as just a really good... That's a film that shows you how to make a film. If you pay attention, boxing movies are really good movies that teach people how to make films. There's always good pacing. If you want to learn how to make a movie, watch Raging Bull and watch the first Rocky.
I do need to watch Raging Bull at some point. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's good. It is very, very good.
Of the ones I've seen, I think it's Goodfellas.
And you know what? I'm a big fan of Scorsese. I do like his films. I like a lot of things that he's done.
What's your opinion on Silence?
Can I just stay silent about it?
Ah, there you go.
Look, I'm not saying that every film is a hit. You know, I've had arguments with people about Gangs of New York and The Aviator that I was angry with them because they were like, oh, these are shitty films. And I was like, no, they're not. They're fantastic films. Gangs of New York is great. And they're like, why are the accents weird? And I was like, why does that even matter? Daniel Day-Lewis is in it. He's the butcher. Like, what are you – Daniel Day-Lewis is in this movie. What are you talking about? And then people are like, The Aviator, and it's like, yes. He was a madman. This is great. And also, I'm really strong with saying it's like, watch The King of Comedy instead of The Joker. Or watch The Joker and don't watch The King of Comedy. It's your choice, but The King of Comedy is a good film.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What's next?
Always.
How long before actors are replaced entirely by CGI characters in movie and TV?
You're still going to have voiceover. So I don't see any replacements. I don't see that happening.
I think audiences are going to be weirded out. I mean, we've already seen this with CG Tarkin in Rogue One. I think people are going to be kind of weird. It's going to be very distracting. So I think if CG can get better, and which is a crazy thing to say because CG is so good right now. But completely replaced? I don't ever see that happening.
I don't see that happening. I don't even know if there's a... No, I don't think so. I really don't think this is a thing. Like the de-aging thing, yeah, I get that. I think that will be a thing we're going to see a lot of. Yeah. Just because Disney likes to push this new technology. But a complete replacement.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, there's no way actors will stand for that.
No. And I also...
There's no way film crews will stand for that.
It's such a... You know, people keep talking about, like, the direness of, like, you know, we did Tarkin, you know, poor Peter Cushing, who I'm sure doesn't care because he's super dead. What are we talking about? Are we talking about like a romantic comedy where Ryan Reynolds is going to play against a tennis ball on a string? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Nah.
And if we're doing CGI on CGI, we got fucking Pixar, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. That's a strange question. I'm really interested to see what other people has answered for that question.
Oh, I'd have to find it again. I don't know where I found it.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's good. We're moving on. Right, Cape Fear, people.
you know what has ruined Cape Fear and what has ruined a lot of great movies is The Simpsons.
Big Milton?
No.
Oh, The Simpsons, oh yeah.
Because The Simpsons have a tremendous parody of Cape Fear.
Yeah.
And a tremendous parody of Citizen Kane.
And yes.
I saw those way before I saw those movies, and then I was like, oh, The Simpsons already did this.
Womp. Yeah. The Simpsons have ruined many of things.
They sure have.
They really have. Yeah.
Final question, Josh. Is the movie The Last Samurai proof that Hollywood has a history of whitewashing characters?
I think there's other movies that you can... Yeah.
I'm not gonna say fucking The Last Samurai.
Look, you know, at the end of the day, I think The Last Samurai suffered from two major things.
Yeah.
First major thing is that throwing Tom Cruise's name on that title. Like, if you look at all the posters and how they advertised it, they're like, Tom Cruise is, but he's not. The Last Samurai. He's not.
No, that's...
Ken Watanabe is The Last Samurai. That movie should have had Ken Watanabe and Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai.
Well, we know why.
Oh, yeah, we all know why.
I actually really like The Last Samurai. But the history of Hollywood...
No, I do too.
The history of Hollywood is littered with whitewashing and blackface. I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without seeing a Fu Manchu movie or...
Right. Oh, you got Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Or, you know, The Jazz Singer or, you know, anything else you want to throw out because they've done it. It's been happening since the birth of film. So...
It has been. It really has been. And it's just like... At the end of the day, The Last Samurai is like a symptom of an old Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I think it's the way they presented that movie. They could have put, I get, because Tom Cruise puts people in seats, and Ken Watanabe doesn't. But
wasn't this Ken Watanabe's breakthrough movie? I feel like it was, and then he did.
He did Inception.
Yes, but that was after this. And then he did...
He did the
World War II one. I think it was Eastwood's version of... It was the opposite of Flags of Our Fathers.
He did Memoirs of a Geisha, which was right. very good. He was very good in it. He was in Batman Begins. He was
Ra's al
Ghul's decoy, which was pretty nice. Yeah, Memories of Tomorrow. Yes, letters from Ijima.
Yes,
which was right. also very good.
So okay, well, that's good to know.
He's a Inception. He was Mr. Santo in Inception.
He's a very good actor. He's really great in those new Godzilla movies.
Come on, he was in Detective Pikachu. Come on.
Oh what God, are we? What he are we? Was in Detective Pikachu, which is also a great movie that he's in.
Yeah. Look, he killed it in that movie. That movie was his movie.
Yeah.
It really was, and it's more of just like what sells. And honestly, Tom Cruise sells. That movie made a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. That movie made a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
And it was okay. It was good, but it was compared.
It is a totally fine movie.
I
happen to really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. But then again, I'm a sucker for samurais.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love samurai movies. I'm all about samurai movies. I'm all about Western movies that have taken from samurai movies.
Stolen from samurai movies.
Dude, A Fistful of Dollars is still a very good movie. Fight me.
No, I agree with you. It's just...
The man with the name trilogy from of Clint Eastwood is still great, and it's just Yojimbo. It's just Yojimbo done over and over and over three different times.
Hey, man, if you're going to steal from the best.
Steal from the best. Kurosawa, if you're going to steal from Kurosawa.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we have gone very long today.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
I think this is one of our better ones. So we'll be back either next week or the next couple of weeks. You know, things are kind of drying up, so we may go bi-weekly. Who knows?
Yeah, why not?
Let things kind of build up. But until then, you know, wear a mask. Get vaccinated, for the love of God. Jesus.
Get vaccinated, people. I don't care. Just do it.
You know what?
I want to do things again.
I was really excited. I was planning to go see The Green Knight on Tuesday. I had tickets. And then there was a spike, and I was like, well, I'm going to have to cancel these tickets.
Yeah, I do want to see The Green Knight.
I do too. It's really exciting.
Man.
I know.
I hate this.
So wear a mask. Well, get vaccinated, for the love of crap. Jesus.
Yeah, just do it, people. Just do it. Just take the shot.
Do it for me. Do it for Chris and John.
Do it for Chris, everybody. Do it for your grandma. Do it for your niece, your nephew.
You know what? I don't give a shit about your grandma. Do it for me.
Do it for Chris.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody.